Good afternoon. I want to welcome you to You Too Have Hope. I'm your host, Carrie Cooper. 7 months ago, we started a new initiative to demonstrate step-by-step how to study the Bible for yourself. So if you're new to this program and would like to catch up on past broadcasts, and specifically to catch up on the past Bible study topics that we've addressed, please visit youtohavehope.com. That's the letter U, the number 2, havehope.com. Simply click on the Bible Study Headquarters tab, and there you'll find all of our archive programs categorized by topic. For example, if you're interested in basic Bible study techniques or how to conduct a word study or even how to pray, all of those resources are available to you for free. One of the topics that we address in our Bible Study Headquarters is Christian apologetics, which is simply a defense of the faith. The study of apologetics is essential to knowing what you believe and why you believe it. Today, I'd like to introduce you to Mikel Del Rosario, who's an adjunct professor of Christian apologetics at William Jessup University. Mikel, it's wonderful to meet you. Thank you so much for being a part of You Too Have Hope.
Well, glad to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
You're known as the apologetics guy online, and many, many people go to you for answers to the questions that our culture faces. So today we're talking about one of those questions: can God and evil exist at the same time? There are many people that just really poses a very strong problem for. So, you know, explain some of those arguments for us and allow us to see how that can be resolved.
Yeah, you know, I hear from hundreds of high school students around the country every year, and what most of them are saying is that the number one argument that they hear against the existence of God is the evil and the suffering that we see in the world. And the way that they often hear the conversation on evil is something like this: either, on the one hand, God's too weak to do anything about evil, or number two, that he just doesn't care. But of course, the implication that the atheist doesn't want to say God's evil or God's just too weak, I guess some atheists do say that, but the implication really is that God's not real. That the Christian conception of God, that as an all-good, all-powerful being, just doesn't make any sense when you take a look at all the evil and the suffering that we see in the world. So the idea is that it's just impossible that God and evil can exist at the same time. That's kind of how the conversation is framed today.
Well, I think most people think, well, if God is sovereign, as the Bible teaches, and if God is good, as the Bible teaches, then how can a sovereign good God allow evil to exist? And so that's the quandary that we find ourselves in. So how do we unravel that and unpack it in an intelligent way?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like an either or when it's presented often. But just like the atheist doesn't want to say that God's really weak or that God's really evil, the atheist really wants to say there's no God. That's what atheism actually is. Well, so they actually sneak a third option in there, that there's no God. Well, if there's a third option, well, maybe there's a fourth option too, and this
right.
isn't just an either-or deal. And that's the Christian option, which is what the Bible actually teaches, is that God can have good reasons for allowing evil. I mean, even really horrible things that have happened, God's able to use those things. You can't stop God from accomplishing his will, no matter what you do. God's
exactly.
going to use it. God can thwart what you're trying to do for evil and use it for good. The problem of evil doesn't automatically lead us to atheism. The rest of the story is that God can have good reasons for allowing evil, even if we don't know what those reasons are.
Give us an idea, because, you know, for most of us, we don't know how to unravel that and unpack it in such a way that it's an intelligent response to that
yeah.
either-or question.
One good reason that God might allow evil is to give us the opportunity to have responsibility and free will in our lives today. So God gave us the opportunity to love him, but you can't love somebody for real unless you have the free choice to not love them.
Exactly.
In other words, real love can't be forced. So when God gave us free will, yeah, he made evil possible because he gave us the opportunity to say, I love you, God, or he also allows us to say, no, forget you, God, I'm going to go my own way. But we have to have that free will in order to love him, to love other people, to love our mothers, our spouses. But that also gives us the opportunity to do evil. And God has allowed us to live in a world where our choices really matter. We have a moral responsibility. And if you you know, take a brick and throw it at someone, it doesn't turn into a flower, you know, or something.
Exactly.
It's just, you know, what would the world look like if God just, you know, prevented every single, you try to do something bad and then, you know, it turns into a flower. God didn't make us to live in a world like that. But Carrie, the other thing I want to say is that even if we don't know what that reason is, you know, free will is a pretty good reason, I think. That might not be the only reason that God allows evil.
Right.
But I think about when I became a dad, how God kind of taught me about this whole idea of trusting him, even though we don't know what on earth is going on in our lives sometimes. 10 years ago, he's 10 years old now, but man, I remember when I first became a dad, I took him to the doctor to get a shot. Actually, they gave him four shots, two in each leg.
Aww.
And I had to help them hold down the legs of my little baby,
yeah,
who wasn't even 1 year old yet.
Yes.
And he's looking at me with these eyes like, why are you helping the bad people? don't you know this is hurting me?
But, and it certainly, you know, seems that way from his perspective,
uh-huh,
right?
She had no clue,
yeah,
that me allowing a few seconds of pain into his life would help reduce the risk of getting some really serious life-threatening diseases. So just because something might seem pointless to us doesn't mean God doesn't have a good reason, that he can't have a morally justified reason for it. We're just not in a good place to make that call.
And to take that thought a little bit further, I was thinking too that suffering and evil actually reveals our absolute desperation for a savior. We are not in control. We go about our day thinking we're in control, but when illness hits or tragedy hits, we suddenly recognize we aren't in control and that we need God. We need him to intervene in our lives. How can evil actually prove the existence of God?
Yeah, you know, that sounds really odd to say, doesn't it?
It does.
Evil is often put forth to us as, look, I mean, how can you believe in a God when you turn on the TV, you drive by, you know, flagpoles at half staff, and you think, how does God exist with all of this evil around us? But evil seems to tell us, I think, about a moral standard that people didn't just make up. I mean, you look around, you know something's wrong with our world. That things like murder, horrible things like rape, these aren't just examples of people breaking social norms. It's not like people who wear shorts to a formal wedding. No, these things are really, really wrong. This isn't the way things should be.
Yeah.
But the thing is, how do you get a should in atheism? If there's no God, where does this should come from? Because all you have in atheism and naturalism as a philosophy is just matter behaving according to law, which is what everything boils down to if there's no God. So if you look at something, you say, murder, that is evil.
Yeah.
You know, when 9/11 hit, the newspapers called it Day of Evil, and it didn't matter what, if you were an atheist or a Christian that day, you could see evil for what it was, and you could
That's
call
right.
that evil.
Yes.
But if you got objective evil, then it seems to me that you've got to have a standard of good that's not just something that our culture made up, but it's something that's beyond us, that that actually establishes what good is. Because moral laws don't just pop out of nowhere, you know.
Right, yeah.
They're a communication, I think, from one mind to another. Very different than if you shook up a magic eight ball and just, you know, asked it a question. It's not some arbitrary random thing. These laws have a moral force that you feel obligated to obey. And when you break them, we feel guilty and they seem to imply a moral lawgiver.
That's so true. When I hear of child abuse, instantly you think that is wrong. And you're right. There's this innate sense of moral need for justice. Mm-hmm. As a Christian, as a Christ follower, we trust in the eventual and final judgment of God.
Mm-hmm.
How
mm-hmm.
does atheism not really solve the problem for evil? You tend to think, well, maybe just evil doesn't exist. I'm just not going to believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to believe in God.
Yeah, well, atheism doesn't really solve the problem. You're totally right there, because say you just say, okay, Mr. Atheist, I'll believe you, and I'll just become an atheist because I don't see how God and evil can coexist. Does atheism really help us make sense of evil? Actually, it doesn't. And on top of that, it gives us a second problem, which is the problem of good. Remember, we were talking about how when we say things shouldn't be like this,
right?
You know, where's this idea of should come from? If there's no God and there's no moral, objective moral standard, then there's no such thing as evil, and there's no such thing as good either. And in fact, Richard Dawkins,
point.
the British evolutionary biologist who wrote The God Delusion, he admits this. He says there is no good and there is no evil. All you have is a cold universe, which is just indifferent to you. But if atheism is true, what's good and what's evil is basically just like you saying what you happen to like and what you happen to not like. You know, it's like, well, I like chocolate ice cream. You like vanilla ice cream. Is that really what atheism wants us to think is the difference between giving a little girl a hug and hurting her for no reason?
Right. That's a great argument. You know, when we go through that line of thought, it makes me think even further, just our innate desire for love. Mm-hmm. And love in of itself is a character of God. And so mm-hmm. when we examine if evil exists, then love, the converse of that, must exist. And so, like you were saying, it can't just be an either or. It can be a both situation.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of interesting that you talk about good and evil that way, because sometimes people say, you know, maybe we need evil in order to have good.
I gotcha.
But that's not true. We can have good without having evil, but we can't have evil without good. Let me illustrate that.
Yeah, you can have explain it a bit.
You can have a standard where nothing falls short of that standard, but you can't have something that falls short of the standard without a standard. You get me?
Okay, I gotcha. Yeah, that's a great way to think about it. And you're stretching my mind, Mikkel. All right, so there is a solution to the problem of evil. And how would we explain that to our listeners?
Yeah, this might sound a little strange too, but I think that God is really the solution to the problem of evil. You know, if you're steeped in atheism and you see the world as a cold, indifferent place where nothing has a purpose and there's no good, there's no evil, you know, what kind of hope can atheism offer to someone who's suffering from a disease or who's depressed? I think the best thing they can do is say something like, you know, I really feel bad for you. But
right.
Atheism doesn't make evil go away. Atheism just leaves you feeling hopeless, and it's just not in tune with reality. If you know, you look at evil and you look at good, and you know there's a difference between the two. But the Bible is very real when it comes to talking about evil. Jesus didn't say there's no such thing as good or evil. He said, in this world you will have trouble. It's one of those mm-hmm. promises of God no one wants to put as a bumper sticker on the back of their car. You know? But, I mean, God isn't just sympathetic to our suffering. In Christianity, he can empathize with us. Because
That's
he
right.
suffered too. And Christianity is very real about the evil, not only in the world, but the evil in our own hearts. You know, when we rail against, oh, these people who are so evil and doing all these things that make us suffer, the Bible says, yeah, but let's look at the evil in our own hearts. If God decided, I'm going to snap my fingers right now and just rid the whole world of evil, where would you and I be?
That's so true. And it's very convicting to know that I have just as much capacity for evil as the next person. And, mm-hmm. you know, sin is evil. Sin is rebellion against God. So we all have evil in our lives. And as Christ followers, that's part of the work of the Holy Spirit. He, over time, gets rid of those things that are in opposition to him. And so what a wonderful gift that he gives us through Christ, that we can have hope and we can mm-hmm. have a future with him. So what's that final thought that you would leave the men and women and the children, the teens listening right now that really have this heart struggle with, can I really trust a God who allows evil in my life?
You know, if we take a look at the book of Job, he struggles with that question. And he, unlike us, he didn't have the privilege of reading the opening chapter of that book. But, you know, he's struggling to understand what's going on. And him and God, they have this conversation where God essentially says, Job, you want to know, you want answers, but you're not me. And you wouldn't understand if I told you. So just trust me. Just trust me. And in chapter 42, he gets it. He says, I spoke of things too wonderful for me to know. But God is extending a hand of forgiveness to us. He's extending a hand of forgiveness to everyone. That's why God doesn't just destroy all evil right now. He's so patient. He's waiting for you and me to respond to him, to repent of our sin. And he gives us hope. Hope that this life is not all that there is.
Because that's right.
If God is all good and all powerful, as the scripture says, then he will one day defeat evil. And so just like Paul could write in 2 Corinthians 4, he could say, we don't lose heart. You know, these light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs all of this stuff. Because what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen, that is eternal. And so at the end of the day, God is the solution to the problem of evil. The problem of evil doesn't disprove God. Christianity offers us the key to hope for a solution to evil, and that's God himself coming to earth, loving us, experiencing evil so that you and me could have that hope of a life that'll never end.
Oh, that's so encouraging. Thank you so much, Mikhail. I see why they call you the apologetics guy. When we don't know where else to go, it's always great to go to someone who has studied this at length and knows how to really pick apart the arguments and present them in a way that we can understand and actually go back and do some more research on our own and find that it's true. And, you know, we always encourage our listeners not just to take our word for it, but to go back to the Bible and examine it and see what God says for himself. Thank you so much for being a part of the show today. It's great to talk with you, and I'm so thankful for your willingness to participate.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Well, if you're just joining us, you're listening to You Too Have Hope, and I'm your host, Carrie Cooper.